Rod hey, jai, jai, madhavatai. Rod hey, jai, jai, madhavatai. Kulacharuni mandala maite. Satishi Srimad, his divine grace of Ayachatana, Vananda, Goswami, Srila Prabhupada Gijai, Iskan, founder Acharya, Srila Prabhupada Gijai, Anantakoti, Vaishnava, Gijai, Namacharya, Srila Haridas, Thakur Gijai, Prem Se Goho, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Shidwaita Garadha, Shri Vasili Gaura Bhakta Vrindigajai Shri Shri Radhakrishna Gopinath Sayam Kunda Radhakunda Giri Govardhan Kijai Vrindavanam Kijai Maturam Kijai Jagannatha Sami Kijai Yamurumai Kijai
Srimati Lasi Devi Gajai Samaveda Bhakta Vrindi Gajai Gaur Premananda Hari Hari Bol. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga Srila Prabhupada Gajai Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vananda Swamini Tidamani Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharani Nivashesha Shanyavadi Paschacha Deja Tarani. So, we're going to continue with our reading of the Jiva Dharma by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And as we mentioned before, Prabhupada said it's one of the two books of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur that's most important, Jiva Dharma and Chaitanya Shikshamrita. And Prabhupada wanted them translated. And Prabhupada wanted these books available for devotees. So we're going to continue with our reading. And, okay, Om Ganat Timiranda Shah. Gananjana Shilakaya Chakshur Unmeditam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So I offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of my spiritual master, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, who so kindly opened my eyes with a torchlight of knowledge while I was blinded in the darkness of ignorance. Actually, I forgot to read the translation of this Radha Gustava. O Radha, all glories unto you, all glories unto you, beloved of Madhava, object of worship for all the young girls of Gokula. You dress yourself in such a way as to increase Lord Damodara's love and attachment for you. You are the controller of Vrindavan, the pleasure groves of Lord Hari. You are a new moon arisen from the ocean of King Vrishabhanu, and you are the friend of Lalita, and your wonderful qualities, friendliness, kindness, and faithfulness to Krishna endear you to Vishakha. You are an ocean of compassion, and your divine characteristics are described by the four Kumaras, Sanaka, Sanatan, Sananda, and Sanatkumar. O Radha, please be merciful to me. Srimati Radharani Ki Jai. Rupa Goswami Ki Jai. Okay, let's share the screen, and then we will continue. Let's see, where is that? Here it is. Jiva Dharma. Okay. I'm going to get this set up. Right. Everything's so pathetic here. Okay. So yesterday, or 2 days ago, sorry, we were talking about Nitya and Naimita Dharma of the Jiva. Now, these two words, just to reiterate, Nitya means eternal. Naimita means Namitika, sorry, means temporary. Time, place, and circumstance. So we have both of these types of dharma. Let me just talk about water example Prabhupada's going to give right here. So let's see, you have these two words. One is called nisarga, which means the temporary nature of something under different circumstances. And the other one is called swabhava. See these two words here? Swabhava and nisarga. Nisarga. Actually, nisarga. It's not nisarga. Nisarga. So nisarga is the changed nature under different circumstances. So we have certain changed nature dharmas or changed nature natures under different circumstances. And yesterday, or 2 days ago, I talked about the example of water. And here, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is going to give that same example. And we see that Prabhupada used this example quite often. So you can see Prabhupada studied this book of Bhaktivinoda Thakur's. So let's continue reading. For example, water is a substance. And so this is a metaphor where we're talking about the changed dharma of something or the eternal dharma of something. We're talking about the soul, but in order to understand that nomenclature, change or eternal dharma, we're having the example of water or the metaphor of water in this particular case. So water is a substance. Liquidity is its nature, that's its dharma. is liquid. Prabhupada often talked about that. By circumstance, when water becomes cold, it becomes solid. That's known as ice, for those of you who don't know what ice is. This nisarga acts as if it were the water's nature. So that's the temporary nature of water when it's very cold, ice. But the normal nature of water is liquid. Actually, this nisarga is not eternal but temporary. So that's a temporary nature. It arises from some cause, and when the cause is eliminated, the nisarga disappears. The temporary nature disappears. But the nature is eternal. Even though it transforms, the nature of the object continues. In other words, water always has its nature of liquidity, although it's not always manifest. It may be influenced by external circumstances that cause it to manifest a temporary nature. But still, its eternal nature is there as soon as the ice cube defrosts. It's really easy to understand. With time and circumstance, one can recognize the real nature of an object. The nature of the object, vastu, vastu means the object, is its eternal or nitya dharma. So here we're talking about the soul. The soul's dharma or eternal dharma is what? Jivera Swarupa Hoy Nitya Krishna Das. Its nisarga is its temporary or naimittika dharma. Got it? That in this world, the soul is an illusion and it has temporary dharma and nature and also temporary duties, which is also related to the word dharma. The word dharma can mean duties, it can mean nature. Anyway, so those who know objects recognize their eternal and temporary dharmas. We certainly do that with water. Those who do not know objects think that the nisarga, that means the temporary nature, is the nature of an object, and take the temporary dharma to be the eternal dharma. In other words, an example with that would be, I'm eternally American. I'm eternally, you know, whatever color, whatever religion, whatever external designation, upadi. The sannyasi asked, what is an object, remember, vastu, and what is the meaning of its nature? So now we get a little technical, so try to follow. And I'm going to go slowly. The Babaji, this is Paramahansa Das Babaji, and the sannyasi, or just to reiterate, this sannyasi is a new devotee in Krishna consciousness. He became a devotee by the association of a devotee while he was meditating on Brahman in Varanasi. And some devotee came by, chanted Harinam, and he heard the holy names and became immersed in ecstasy and went to Mayapur to get association with these great devotees, one of them being this Babaji, this Paramahamsa Das Babaji. So here the Babaji is explaining the basic philosophy of Krishna consciousness. So I'm going to try to put this into simple words. The root of vastu, that means object, is vas, meaning to acknowledge. The ending of the noun is tu. Thus the word vastu is formed. Thus which has existence is known as vastu. You understand? Vastu is something that exists. That's real easy. So there are two types of vastu, the real object and the false object. So real objects, just to tell you, real objects in this particular case are things that continue to exist, and false objects are things that come into existence and don't come out of and go out of existence. Like the Bhagavad Gita talks about that nasato vijate bhavo navavo vijate sataha ubiyarapi drishto antas tvaniyastat vidarshavi. The sages think that those things are temporary, are not real. Of course, they're real in one sense, like a soap bubble is real, but a soap bubble in another sense is unreal. because it's temporary. And so our connection with this world, our upadis or designations, like our nationality, in one sense is unreal. In another sense, you may say it's real. It does exist, but it's temporary, and once it ceases to exist, it will never exist again in that same way. That's life. So two types of vastu, the real object and the false object. So real objects arise from the spiritual, that means they're eternal. Unreal objects are material substances and qualities. You know, the material energy is endlessly mutable. It's always changing. So in that sense, it's unreal. This is Bhagavad Gita, basic Bhagavad Gita philosophy. The real object has existence, continues to exist. The unreal object's existence is only something perceived, like a soap bubble. Sometimes what is perceived is real and sometimes false. In other words, you can sometimes see a real object, if you happen to have spiritual vision, and sometimes you perceive something that's not real. You know, it's obviously, that's a understanding. Bhagavatam 1.1.2 says, Vedyam vastavyam atar vastu shivadam. The real object, vastavam vastu, is spiritual. Bhagavan is the only real object. And of course, we are connected to Bhagavan, so we are, as souls, we're real objects. His separated angsha is the jiva. That means his part and parcel, as Bhagavad Gita says, is jiva, us. We are jiva souls. And his shakti, energy, is maya. Now, maya can mean energy, maya can mean illusion, and it can mean the material energy or the spiritual energy, yoga maya or maha maya. Maha maya is the material energy, yoga maya is the spiritual energy. Thus, vastu means the three tattvas. This is very interesting. Bhagavan, that's God, the jiva, and maya. Basically, these are the three tattvas. Got it? And also, yeah, maya, or energy. So, really, the energy of Bhagavan can be either spiritual or material. Okay. Knowledge of their mutual relationship is called pure knowledge. So that's an understanding of the three tattvas, Bhagavan, Jiva, and Maya. Got it? It's easy to understand. Let's see, what is that? What is that verse? Anyway, forget the verse. But anyway, these are the three tattvas of Vidya Karma Sangyata, Diya Shakti, Ishite. Anyway, knowledge of their mutual relationship is called pure knowledge. In other words, understanding God, God's part and parcel, the jiva, and God's energy is called pure knowledge. All right? Really easy to understand. These three tattvas, tattva means that which exists, that which continues to exist, they're vastus, okay, are perceived in many ways but are all classed among knowledge of their mutual, yeah, the three tattvas are perceived in many ways, but if you don't perceive them properly, that's unreal. That's all right. Classification of substance and quality of the Vaisheshika and other philosophies, that means atomism. Vaisheshika philosophy basically means everything comes from the material interactions, like atomism, you know, the molecules, atoms, genes, you know, whatever, comes just by chance through the material interaction. So the substance and quality of the Vaisheshika and other philosophies is just discussion of unnatural objects or unreal objects. Sorry, same thing. Unique quality of a real object is its nature or swabhava, that is eternal nature. Jiva is one object. Its eternal quality is its nature or swabhava. Remember this? We are eternal and our nature is called our swabhava, our nature. Swabhava means own nature. Hmm. The sannyasi said, now it's getting a little technical, hopefully you all follow. Oh, Prabhu, I want to know more about this subject. And here we're going to see the swabhava of the jiva, the nature of the individual soul. We are jiva. I know I'm repeating myself, but I just want to make sure that everybody understands what's going on here, because we're throwing out a lot of technology. Babaji said, Krishnas Kaviraj, the recipient of Nityananda's mercy, showed me a handwritten manuscript. It is called the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Mahaprabhu gave instruction concerning this point. So here's the Sarupa, okay, remember this? Or Swabhava, which is the same thing. Swabhava and Swarupa, same thing. Swabhava means own form. Swarupa means own form. Swabhava means nature, pretty much taken synonymously. Jivera Swarupa Hoy Krishnera Nichidas, Krishnera Tatashta Shakti, Veda Veda Rakash. Krishna Bhuli Sei Jiva Anadi Bhati Mukha. Adaiva Maya Tari Deha Samsara Dukkha. The Sarupa, the same thing as Sarupa, Swabhava, of the Jiva is to be the eternal servant of Krishna. In other words, that's our eternal nature, not our Nisarga, temporary nature. The Jiva, that's us, is the Tashta Shakti of Krishna. Tashta means marginal. We can go either way, to material or spiritual. That's our choice, free will. Different and non-different from Krishna. Chaitanya Charitamrita, Majalila, 20th chapter, text 108. So we can go either way. And so we have the same nature as Krishna, but we can choose to embrace Krishna's illusory energy and forget Krishna. So our nature becomes different from that of Krishna because not our eternal nature, but our nisarga, our temporary nature, becomes different from that of Krishna. But even our swabhava, or eternal nature, is never, is never the same quantity as Krishna's nature, but the same quality as Krishna's nature. In other words, we have all of Krishna's qualities, but in minute quantity. So in that sense, we're also, our swabhava is also different from that of Krishna, in quantity, but not in quality. Forgetting Krishna, the jiva is adverse to Krishna without beginning. Thus, maya gives him the suffering of samsara. So maya comes, or suffering comes, because of attachment to the nisarga, or temporary nature, comes because of our desire to forget or be averse to Krishna. Got it? Or envious to Krishna. All right. Krishna is the complete spiritual object, chit. Like Sat Chit Ananda. Chit Vastu. One can compare him to the one sun of the spiritual world. The jiva is just one ray of the sun. Easy to understand. The jivas are many. When one speaks of jiva as an angsha of Krishna, it does not mean that he is the proportion, he is a portion of the Lord, like a rock broken off from a mountain. Though unlimited jivas as amsas emanate from Krishna, amsa means part and parcel, Krishna is not depleted at all, even though we're part of Krishna and parcel of Krishna. It's not that without us, Krishna is depleted. Thus the Vedas say that the jivas are like sparks of the fire, but actually they cannot be compared in this way. Because sometimes if a spark falls out of the fire, then you actually see that the fire is diminished by one spark. But we are not diminishing Krishna by being separate from Krishna. One may speak of sparks from a huge fire, ray of the sun, or a piece of gold from a mine, but no comparison is perfect in all respects. So that's a very important epistemological point. Epistemology means, how do you know what you know? Even though we use metaphors to explain things like sparks of the fire, or piece of gold, or parts and parcels, whatever, it doesn't explain it It's not a proof. It explains it to give us some idea of what's going on. You understand? Some idea of what's happening, but it doesn't prove anything. Metaphors do not prove. Metaphors help us grasp a concept. So don't try to prove something with a metaphor. But if one can discard the material aspects of the comparison, the sincere heart can understand the nature of the jiva. So you use the metaphor to try to understand, but you got to have spiritual realization. Spiritual realization comes from Dadami Buddhi Yogam Tam Yenam Amopiyantite Tesham Satana Yuktanam. For one who is devoted to Krishna, then you get spiritual realization. It's not a question of academically studying the subject matter. You still won't understand what that means. Krishna is the huge conscious object. And the jiva is a small conscious object. You know, anyway, that's easy to understand. Both are one in having a conscious nature, but their natures are different since Krishna is complete, whereas the jiva is incomplete, small. We need Krishna. In other words, Krishna's complete. He doesn't need, what does that mean? He doesn't need anyone. He's swarat, as Bhagavatam tells us. He's independent. He doesn't need anything. We are completely dependent, which means we're incomplete. Like if I want something, I'm dependent on other people, I'm dependent on the demigods, I'm dependent ultimately on Krishna. You know, so many dependencies I have on the air and the weather and, you know, someone to iron my dhotis or something like that. So I'm completely incomplete. My doctor I'm dependent on. I'm dependent on Prabhupada. I'm dependent on... Anyway, if I were to list all my dependencies, I'd be in trouble. But Krishna doesn't have any dependencies. Krishna's independent. He creates so many things, and those things do not lessen him, and he doesn't need them. Krishna is the jiva's eternal master. He's our eternal Lord. The jiva is Krishna's eternal servant. That's just reiterating what the Chaitanya Charitamrita just said. This is said to be natural. That's our nature, swabhava, not our nisarga. Krishna is the attractor and the jiva is the attracted. That's what Krishna means. Krish attract na, give us ecstasy. And who is Krishna attracting but us? Krishna, of course, we can also attract Krishna through our love and devotion, but not through our nature. Our nature doesn't attract Krishna. I mean, he loves us, but it doesn't attract or control him just because you're a jiva. That's the problem with that particular philosophy of the secret, that one thinks they can control God, control the universe, just by wanting something. It's not like that. You cannot control God. But if you love God, that means you have to give up the desire to control God, or be God, then you can attract God. Krishna is the controller and the jiva is the controlled. Easy to understand. Krishna is the observer and the jiva is observed. That's mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna is the knower of all bodies. Kshetragya, and the living entity is the known. Krishna is complete and the jiva is small and dependent. Krishna possesses all shaktis and the jiva is without shakti. In other words, we don't have potencies unless Krishna gives us potencies. For example, in the 15th chapter of the Gita, Krishna says he gives us intelligence. He's the, also, elsewhere in the Gita, he says, I'm the strength of the strong. The intelligence of the intelligent. So that's shakti comes from Krishna. And we're borrowing it, as one famous person said, talent on loan from God. One has some talent, musical talent or speaking ability or whatever, it's on loan from God, or memory is on loan from God. Thus following Krishna eternally or being his servant is the jiva's eternal nature or dharma. Krishna is endowed with unlimited shaktis, unlimited potencies. his full Shakti manifests in the spiritual world. So the original Shakti, of course, Adi Shakti, Shakti means Krishna's energy, because all of Krishna's energies expand from the one original Shakti, and that's Srimati Radharani, whose name is Adi Shakti. Adi means original. So I know I'm going slowly, but I want to make sure everyone understands. The Tathasta Shakti, that means marginal potency, the Jiva, manifests to produce the Jiva. A special Shakti acts in conjunction with imperfect material nature, with the material universe. This Shakti is called the Tathasta. So it's not that we were, even though it's mentioned produced, we were not produced at any time. It's just that we are of the Tathasta Shakti. The action of the Tathasta Shakti is to produce an object between the spiritual and material worlds, which is suitable to maintain a relationship with both the spiritual and material worlds. A pure spiritual object is the opposite of a material object. Thus, by nature, the spiritual object cannot relate to the material object. Though the jiva is a spiritual particle, by some divine shakti, it has become suitable to relate with matter. This divine shakti is called the tathasta. So we are spiritual. This is really our ontology. We're spiritual, we're eternal, but we have become, under the Tathasta Shakti, influenced by the Tathasta Shakti, imbued with the Tathasta Shakti, so that we are able to relate with matter. Although we're not really able to relate with matter, but we're thinking we're relating with matter. Oh, we are relating with matter, but we're not actually in contact with matter. I'll give you an example. It's like a movie. If you watch a movie, you may be relating with the characters there. In one sense, you are, but in another sense, you're not, because those characters are not there. It's just some image on a screen. But because you are under the influence of the illusion of the theater or the movie, or video nowadays, sorry, then you were influenced by it. Okay, trying to give some metaphor. Between the water of a river and the land, there's a bank or shore. Tata. This shore is land and is also water. In other words, it is situated in both places. This divine Shakti, situated on the bank, possesses an existence with two natures, the nature of earth and the nature of water. In other words, the margin between the water. And it's an imaginary line. The jiva has a spiritual nature, but by circumstances it becomes suitable to be controlled by the material nature. In other words, we're not material. So it's really hard to understand the jiva's nature. We're not material, we're spiritual. But because we're small, we can be influenced by the material energy. Thus, the jiva, unlike the spiritual world, is not beyond relating to matter. In other words, we can relate to matter. Not actually, but by illusion. Endowed with a spiritual nature, the jiva is also not a material object. Again, that's repetition. Our nature is spiritual. Since it is different from matter and spirit, it is jiva tattva. So it's not the spiritual energy of the Lord. It's not the material energy of the Lord. It's spiritual, but it's marginal. One must accept the eternal difference between the Lord and the jiva. The Lord is the controller of Maya. Maya is under the Lord's control. The jiva is prone to be controlled by Maya. Now here we're talking about material Maya. Under certain circumstances, the jiva becomes controlled by Maya when he chooses. So the jiva has that choice between Maya and the spiritual energy. Thus the Lord, the jiva, and Maya are three objects which are real and eternal. In other words, eternal means never came into existence. Krishna's energy never came into existence, and we never came into existence. We're eternal. Among them, the Lord is the root of the three tattvas. you know, he's the source, root. And is the eternal tattva is confirmed by Nicho Nichanam. The Lord is the chief eternal amongst all the eternals. That's from the Katha Upanishads. It's a verse that Prabhupada would oftentimes quote. Nicho Nichanam, Chaitanas Chaitanam, Eko Bahunam Yobadarati Kama. There's one supreme eternal who's maintaining the plural eternals. That's what that verse says. The jiva, us, is by nature the eternal servant of Krishna and is known as the Tashta Shakti, marginal energy. It is concluded that the jiva is simultaneously different from and non-different from Bhagavan. I know this is very repetitive, but it's important to get this drilled into our little consciousness. This is the meaning of beta, abeta, prakasha. Okay? Enlightened, the light of non-difference and non-difference. The jiva is controlled by maya, but the Lord controls maya. In this aspect, the jiva and the Lord are different. Got it? The jiva is by nature a conscious entity, and the Lord is by his nature a conscious entity, in that way the same. The jiva is a special shakti of the Lord. In this aspect, the two are non-different eternally. So we're conscious. So we have certain aspects where we're same nature as the Lord, and other aspects where not really our nature is different, but we can be controlled or manipulated by other factors, whereas the Lord cannot be controlled. I mean, you consider that to be nature, or controlled or manipulated by other factors. That is maya or illusion. Though they are simultaneously eternally different and non-different, their eternal difference is more prominent. So our difference from that of the Lord is more prominent than our sameness. The jiva's nitya dharma is to be a servant of Krishna, and that's different than Krishna. I mean, just about everything is different. I would say 90% different from Krishna. You know, quantity is different. The ability to be independent is different. Forgetting that, because Krishna's independent, we are dependent. Forgetting that, the jiva becomes subject to maya's control. In other words, forgetting that our eternal relationship, our eternal dharma, swabhava, is actually to be a servant of Krishna, or swarup. So, it becomes, from that, the jiva becomes opposed to Krishna. Bahira mukha, which means he turns his face away from Krishna. We do that, forgetting that. We knew it. We forgot it. There's no history of when the jiva falls within the time of the material universe. When the jiva's opposition to the Lord becomes apparent from this, the time of coming into the material universe, in other words, you can't trace it out, which he says elsewhere, Nadi Karma Pale. Thus, the phrase opposing the Lord without beginning, Anadi Bahir Mukha, is used. And then, even that, from the time the jiva becomes opposed to the Lord and enters maya, the jiva's nitya dharma has become distorted. So this is interesting. It appears to be a contradiction. It says that without beginning, and then he says from the time. So it's without beginning, and then he gives a time. So what does that mean? That means when we actually become, our real nature becomes distorted, that real nature is beginningless. Is beginningless, but the temporary nature, the nisarga, has some beginning. That's easy to understand. Because of association with maya, the jiva's nisarga manifests and temporary dharma appears. Nisarga means it's temporary nature. That nature is temporary and only comes when the jiva is under the influence of Krishna's external energy. I know I'm going to have questions about this. The eternal dharma is one, continuous and without fault. So he has his nature. Remember the water example? Water is liquid. That's its eternal nature. And only when it's influenced by something external, then it manifests what's called the nisarga, the temporary nature. So, the eternal dharma is one, continuous and without fault. In other words, we always have our dharma of being a servant of Krishna. But right now, that's not manifest. temporary dharma, naimittika dharma in various forms under various conditions, becomes distorted in various ways by people. It's not all this heavy philosophy, don't worry. Speaking this far, Babaji fell silent and began chanting the names of the Lord. The sannyasi, hearing this talk, offered respects and said, Prabhu, I will review all that was said today. Whatever questions arise from this, I will ask at your feet tomorrow. So these concepts are very important for us to understand. It's very important for us to understand the tattvas. Vishnu Shakti Pura Prokta Chitragyakitatapara Vidyakarma Sangya Trithir Shakti Ishate. So here in this particular verse it says Vishnu Shakti, that's Vishnu is the first Shakti, Pura Prokta, that there's the spiritual energy in this particular verse from the Vedic literatures. It says there's the spiritual energy, the jiva, and the material energy. So in this verse that I just quoted in Sanskrit, Vishnu Shakti Pura Prokdashi Chapikyat Tatapura Vijakarma Sangiyat Shatira Shakti Ishtate, it actually lists four tattvas. Remember? In chapter 1, we talked about three tattvas. That is, the jiva, the Lord, and maya, or energy, the energy of the Lord. And in the verse that I just quoted, and I think it's from the Vishnu Purana, Avishnu Shakti Pura Pokta Shetrakyakya Tata Pura Vijikarma Sanganya Tritira Shakti Ishate, it lists four tattvas: Vishnu, the spiritual energy, the jiva soul, and the material energy. So why do we find this disparity or difference between the two descriptions of the tattvas? The reason is in the quote that I just cited, I believe it's let me just check the reference. Vishnu Purana. Yeah, this is the Vishnu Purana. I was right. So, let's go. Hold on a second. Whoops. Hold on. Okay. Here we go. So, the reason that you find four tattvas listed in the verse from the Vishnu Purana and three that are mentioned by Bhaktivinoda Thakur here is that in the Vishnu Purana, the Maya potency that's listed by Bhaktivinoda Thakur is divided into two. But actually, realistically, the Maya or the Shakti of the Lord comes from the spirit, even the material Shakti comes from the spiritual Shakti, or it all comes from the Adi Shakti, the original potency, who is Srimati Radharani. So let me explain exactly what I mean by that. So you have Srimati Radharani, Adi Shakti. She expands as Lita and Vishaka, the other Astasakis, and then after that, some of the other eternal associates in the spiritual world, and then she expands as the wives of Krishna. Then she expands as the Lakshmis, Lakshmi and expansions of Lakshmi. And then she expands as the material Shakti. So in other words, there's one Shakti who expands as both the material and spiritual Shakti. So you can explain the number of Shaktis being two or one. In the Vishnu Purana, the Shaktis are broken up into the material and spiritual Shaktis, whereas in reality, both the material and spiritual Shaktis stem from the same source. If that makes sense. Yes, stems from the same source. So therefore, they're one Shakti in one sense, or two Shaktis in another sense. Therefore, Bhaktivinoda Thakur combines them both when he talks about Maya, because Maya means energy. Although most of the times when the devotees use the word Maya, it means an illusion or someone who's in Maya. But really, the Jiva soul is always in Maya, in the sense of always being under the control of Krishna's Shakti. Either the spiritual Shakti, which is sometimes called Yoga Maya, or the connection energy, yoga means connection with Krishna, or the material energy, which is called Mahamaya, which is avidya karma, described in the Vishnu Purana, which means ignorant activities. So, I hope that's clear to everybody. So therefore, that's why you have the four Shaktis, four Tattvas described in the Vishnu Purana, and three here, but it's actually the same thing. Because in the Vishnu Purana, you're actually breaking out the Maya into the material and spiritual energies. I hope that is clear, and now it's time for questions, and tomorrow we'll start chapter 2. It's not all this deep philosophy, but in the beginning, the basis, the tattvas have to be established by Bhaktivinoda Thakur so we understand what's happening. Many of the first few chapters are going to be stories of the application. So this is the foundational chapter, chapter 1 and chapter 2. So let's stop sharing. And hopefully no one's confused after hearing all these things. But these are important subject matters. And let me just see. Allow you to unmute yourselves. Whoops. Okay. All right. Abhay Chaitanya, you have some questions here.
Hare Krishna, Gurudev. Please accept my respectful obeisances.
All Lord's Prabhupada. So, good to see you. What's your question?
Thank you. Well, very, very interesting and deep philosophy there, Gurudev. Thank you for going into the detail. The marginal, as I understand, you know, the Tata Shakti that you're describing, we are the marginal energy of the Lord. So, and as you said, the main difference there is that we are always under the influence of Maya, right. Under the control somehow. So my question is, so this Maya is described in the Vishnu Purana, it's split into material and spiritual. We understand Yog Maya and Mahamaya.
Right.
But does that mean that even in the spiritual world, we are under the influence of Maya somehow? Like, is that why we desire to be, you know, enjoying separately from Krishna or something? You know, what, like,
No. You can't blame Maya for that. We choose which Maya we're going to be under the jurisdiction of.
Right.
We say, because by Krishna Bahir Mukh, remember that expression, what I read today, when we turn our face away from Krishna, automatically we're under the influence of the illusory Maya.
Right.
The Mahamaya. And when we turn our face towards Krishna, then we're under the influence of Daiva Prakriti. You know this verse in Bhagavad Gita, Mahatmanas tu mam partha daivam prakriti nashrita. The Mahatmas, the great souls, they are under the influence of Daiva Prakriti, which is the same thing as saying Prakriti means energy or Maya. So they're under the influence of the spiritual energy because they're always.
Oh. Are you still there?
Yes, I think we lost him.
He dropped out.
Oh, okay. Oh, Haribol.
Haribol.
Good to see you again, Jagat Prabhu.
Thank you. Good to see you.
Right, I think his internet just dropped out or something happened. Okay, no worries. That was heavy philosophy.
Yeah.
Oh, yep. Smara just joining again.
Where did I lose you? Because we went offline for a second.
Yes, good. Now I think you're explaining about the Devi, you know, the Prakriti, how Mahatmas are, you know.
Okay, so I know, yeah. Mahatma Nastu Mamparta, Daivam Kuti Mashuta, Vajanchuna Nyamadasho, Yatwa Bhutada Mahavidam. That when the Mahatmas are always serving Krishna, they're under Daiva Prakriti. And being under Daiva Prakriti, they still have independence. But it's not the independence to not serve Krishna, but Daiva Prakriti gives you facility in serving Krishna. And the external energy gives you facility in forgetting Krishna.
Okay. Got it, Gurudev. Thank you so much for explaining.
Yeah, it's a little complex.
It's heavy for a morning here in Sydney, but very nice. Good to have the explanation. Thank you.
Heavy morning cup of tea, you know, when you first wake up. Okay. Hold on a second. Let me pull the chat window again because when I went offline, it just somehow or other this thing goes offline as soon as I stop sharing every day. And okay, here's a question from Jai Radhika. My question is Krishna impartial in providing knowledge to all jivas? And but jivas due to Maya are just not able to take at the time. They're able to take. Krishna is impartial. That's a fact. I mean, there's no doubt about it. But the jivas are able to take, they decide not to take. It's not a question of ability. We always have the ability. If we want Krishna, then what? Tesham satadyuktanam bhajatam pratipurvakam. Krishna will give us the intelligence by which we can come to him. But we must do machata, magata, pranapati, and test japa rasput. Well, we must hear and chant about Krishna. Yeah, there's no question of partiality on Krishna's part. Okay. So, who else has a question? I know there was another question. I sort of lost in whoever typed in the text window before. I lost when I was trying to see it, and then we went offline.
I think it was Jay Radhika only. She was just talking about me.
Same question. Okay. There was another question. There was another longer one that I saw before.
It was from Jay Radhika. She was just discussing her mind about Visarga. And she was just
Visarga. Nisarga.
Yeah, she was saying that how she can answer some of the philosophy of people have been asking that question about how jivas are, they have different tendency in the material world. So
he's gone, Rakesh. He's gone, Rakesh.
Is he gone?
Something about when other people's video comes on is causing his computer to crash or something.
Yeah, something, some weird factor. I mean, I don't know why this computer. I mean, it's not Zoom's problem. It's something to do with the computer. It's a pretty new computer. It shouldn't be doing that. And I don't have too many things open on the computer. I guess we'll have to. Anyway. Whatever. So at least you're all still here. I can always go back on. I'm aware of the difficulty. So does anyone have any other questions?
Yes, Gurudev, I have a question. Here we are talking about Paramhamsa Babaji. Is it the same as Jagannath Das Babaji?
No. No, these are fictional characters. This is a story with fictional characters that Bhaktivinoda Thakur is using to illustrate a point. These are not actual personalities. This is a story, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur is using personalities in a story. All right, anyway, I think it's time to end, and I'm going to try to check out, try to see what the problem is, so we can sort of try to fix it for next time. Okay, I'll check out my computer.
Your computer is in Maya, Gurudev.
Yeah, it's definitely in Maya. We'll have to figure out what it is. I mean, I'll just go through everything. Okay, anyway, at least we got through the class. We got our points across. See everybody tomorrow, same time, same station. All glories to Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Hari Bol.